Okay, so today is a big day. Today is a big, big, huge day. So go ahead and tell your neighbor, today is a big day. Like you really mean it, like today is a big day. Yeah, because if you say like, hey, today's a big day, they're not going to believe it, you know? You have to say with like heart, hey, today is a big day.
Hey.
Again, 1, 2, 3.
Hey.
Yeah, now I'm believing it. So today we start a new series that I hope is one of those aha moments in your walk with Jesus. That today will be one of those moments that you say, hey, I remember when we went to the church and they did this series on 40 Days in the Word, and it was one of those moments that changed everything about how I saw Jesus and the Scriptures. That aha moment in your walk with Jesus, a milestone, you can say. A milestone. How many of you have been to a graduation this few days ago or this month? How many? Okay. For those who have kids that go to school in the States, they probably graduated already. For those who are in Mexico, are still in school, right? Right. So how many of you are planning on going on a graduation soon? Okay. Cool. Graduations are a big deal. You can say they're milestones, right? You can say they're milestones in the life of our kids, or maybe even us, right? I'm sure we all remember our graduation. I mean, for those of us that graduated, right? Sure, we all remember our graduations. Those of us who graduated college, for those of us who graduated high school, for those of us who graduated middle school. I know that some of us only graduated middle school. It's still a milestone, okay? So tell your neighbor, hey, it's still a milestone. It's okay. Who has graduated high school from 2000 to now? Raise your hand. Like from 2000 to now. Two people? Wow. Right. Are you raising your hand? Oh, okay. All right. So for those of you who graduated from 2000 to now, you're probably still, full of hope and dreams and stuff like that, right? So continue to press in. I'm personally in class of 88.
Yeah.
Yeah, class of 88. That was the best year of forever, right? Class of 88, I graduated in Mar Vista High School. Here's a picture of me. Bam!
Oh, oh no!
Yeah. Right? Mar Vista High School, right over the wall. Yeah.
Oh, look at
that. That's my beautiful mom. I was, I think, 17, 18, yeah, long hair. I was trying to look like these guys right here.
Bon Jovi.
I was also listening to Madonna, but I wasn't trying to look like Madonna, Listening to U2, to Run DMC, to Michael Jackson. Believe it or not, he's listening to Michael Jackson. He's got some talent, right?
He's got some talent.
Yeah, he's got some talent. I don't know about any on the aisles, but he's got some talent, right? I remember also the women wearing the shoulder pads, right, and the shirts. Man, who thought of that? Like, wow, can't believe they were doing that. It was amazing. So say with me, it was amazing. Say
it. Was amazing.
Amazing. All right. Who graduated in the 70s?
Oh my.
Come on, be honest. It's okay. 70s? Three people? What? 70? 70s? 70s? 70s, 70? Hey? Okay. You guys probably dressed something like this, right? Right? Wearing the bell-bottom pants, singing, staying alive, right? 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 It's cool, right? Just say with me, it was amazing.
It was amazing.
I'm sure, you know, if you're hanging out and doing all that stuff, doing that. It's amazing, right? Graduations are a big deal. They're milestones. They're amazing. Right? They celebrate that we accomplished something, that we kept moving forward and showed growth. Right? So as we begin this new series today, I hope this series becomes a milestone in your faith. And I pray that this moment, that you can look back at this moment and remember how much you grew up in your faith during this series. So the goal of this series, here's your first fill-in. The goal of this series is that God would show us the living word through the written word. That God would show us the living word through the written word. In other words, that we would have an encounter with Jesus. That we would dive into God's written word, the Bible. That we would see and experience the living word, Jesus. I mean, you know that Jesus is referred in Scripture as the who?
The Word of God.
The Word. Right? So whenever you read that, that's who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus. So for this series, we created a reading plan for you. If you look in your program, inside your program, you will see one of these. Right? You will see one of these. This is designed to give you an overview. It's not the entire Bible. It's just an overview of the entire Bible for these 40 days of this series. For some of you, maybe you've never read the Bible, right? For some of you, maybe you've read these stories before or these parts before, but we've been praying that God would show us new things. That we could connect with Jesus in new ways, that the living word would come alive in us through the written word. So as we begin this series, I'm going to give you like a little Bible overview, okay? The Bible is not like most books. For those of you who've read it, you know what I'm talking about. It's actually like a library of books. There's 66 books in this Bible, right? There's 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And those different books were written over a period of 1,500 years. Did you guys catch that? 1,500 years by 40 different authors at different places in different cultures under various circumstances and addressing different issues. And what's amazing to me is that with so much diversity, there was such a unity in the Bible. That the unity is organized around one big theme, God's redemption of man and all of creation. That's what the Bible talks about. That's the main, where there's unity in all the books. It's God's redemption of man and all of creation. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. You'll have it on your outline. It's also on the screen. It says this. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is what? And useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. This is what we're praying for in this series. This is what we're praying happens as we go in this 40 days in the word journey. That we are shaped up to what God has for us, that we can be changed and transformed. And we believe that can happen because, here's your next feeling, as Christians, we believe the Bible is inspired. Inspired. Now, when we use the word inspired, it's meant differently than the way an artist, might be inspired to create a painting or write a song. So please go back and on that verse and underline God breathed. God breathed gives us the idea of breathing out the scriptures. Right? Man was the instrument used by God to transmit his story and thoughts for the scriptures. Now, I don't believe that the word was dictated. I don't believe that God dictated the Bible. That the writers were in some kind of trance from God, and he took over them and just to use them to write out his word. We don't believe that. God used the writers, their uniqueness, their time, their situation to guide them to communicate his message. Right? So the point of all this is that historical Orthodox Christianity believes that there is a divine truthfulness and trustworthiness in the Bible. Okay, let me say it again. The point here is that historical Orthodox Christianity believes that there is divine truthfulness and trustworthiness in the Bible. That there is power. That it has a purpose. There is a purpose. It has power. The Word of God has power and purpose that can encourage us and empower us. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Then we should read it more often, right? So for the rest of the time, I'm going to give you some reasons. Okay, here's your next one. I can trust the Bible historically. I can trust the Bible historically. The Bible isn't just doctrinally correct. It's not just theologically correct. It's not just accurate regarding morals and ethics. It's true history. It's true history. Real people. Real places, real time. It's true historically. Me and my wife are going to have the privilege this November to visit Israel. I mean, it's going to be so awesome to witness, you know, and walk in the same places that Jesus walked. I'm actually going to get baptized in the Jordan River. Yeah, okay, we'll do it together, baby. Yeah.
She said me too.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Me too. Yeah, yes, baby. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, that's going to be a privilege to be able to see these places where all this took place. Which leads us to this. I can trust the Bible archaeologically.
Yes.
You can write that down. Right? In Israel is archaeologically at the forefront, and they're still making new discoveries that confirm the Bible today. There's never been anything pulled out of the ground that has disproven the scriptures. Right? The last 100 years of archaeology have done nothing except prove the historical accuracy of scriptures. I mean, we could spend hours on this, but let me give you a few highlights. The Dead Sea Scrolls. Who knows about those? Right? Ancient copies of scriptures. I remember me and my wife went to see them when they were in an exhibit at one of those museums in Balboa Park. The Dead Sea Scrolls. Right? What happened is that in the 40s and 50s, they found them in these caves. Wow. Right? In total, there were like 1,500 fragments and 500 complete manuscripts. Fragments of every book in the Old Testament were discovered except the book of Esther. Right? One of the copies of the book of Isaiah found was the exact of what we have today. Yet it was 1,000 years older. Say with me. Isn't it? Another one. Here's another one. The Pontius Pilate stone. Pilate, the Roman governor who sent Jesus to death, was a little bit of controversial. Why? Because there was no Roman record found that he was the fifth governor, Roman governor of Judea. The Romans didn't have that. So that was always a point to where the people would say, you see, the Jesus story is not true. There was no Pontius Pilate. There was no Pilate. Right? So what happened in 1961, an archaeologist excavating one of Herod's great palaces turned over a stone. He went like, boom, and he found that. That said, Pontius Pilatus, the prefect of Judea, erected a building to the emperor Tiberius. And for all those people that were saying, nah, you see, he's not fake, phony baloney story, man. It was like, in your face, buddy. Right? But we can go on and on. And that leads us to the fact that we can also trust the Bible scientifically. Now, the Bible was not written to be a scientific book. But there's no bad science in the Bible. Not once has science disproven the Bible. Johannes Kepler, he's a famous astronomer, said this: science is simply thinking God's thoughts after him. Right? So in other words, God established the laws of physics and then we discovered them. Right? In other words, God establishes the laws of biology, and then we discovered them. Right? In other words, God establishes the laws of mathematics, and then what? We discovered them. Right? The universe was created by God, by the power of His Word. Now science is simply trying to catch up with how God did it. Say with me, amazing. Our New Testament was canonized. What is canonized? It's when it's treated as sacred, right? Yeah, the New Testament was canonized in 367 AD, but these scriptures were circulating in written form within one generation of Jesus, 70 years. They were already, circulating. The people that saw Jesus with their own eyes, heard his teachings, and wrote these first-hand accounts with one generation of their happening. I mean, isn't that like, wow? I mean, can we trust the Bible? Look at what it says in Luke 1:1-4. It says this: many people had sent out to write accounts about the events that had been fulfilled among us. They used the eyewitness reports circulating among us from their early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write a careful account for you, most honorable Fito, right? Hey, you can put your name, Jim. Okay? Don't hate, participate. Right? You could. That's what I love to do. I like to put my name on, in the, you know? He's writing it to me, and look at what it says. Look at what it said. The most honorable Fito, so you can be certain of what?
The truth.
Of
everything you were taught.
All right? So you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. Here's the next one. I can trust the Bible prophetically. This means the predictions in the Bible always come true. Did you guys know that there is like 2,500 prophecies in the pages of the Bible? 2,500. Events, descriptions, stories about future events. And of these 2,500 prophecies, 2,000 of these have already been fulfilled over the previous centuries. The Jesus birth and life and death and resurrection fulfilled 300 prophecies. A modern day prophecy fulfilled regarding the nation of Israel just happened in 1948. It was talked about way back. When they returned to their homeland and once again became a nation after not having a country of their own since 70 AD, when the second temple was destroyed. Amazing. I mean, these are things that were talked about. Like, thousands of years before, there are like, happening. 2 Peter 1:21. Prophecy has never been a product of human initiative, but it comes when men and women are moved to speak on behalf of God by the Holy Spirit. In other words, people didn't just sit around making up future events. Hey, you know what? You know, drink a little beer and smoke a little deal. Hey, you know what? I think that this is going to happen in 2017, and you know what I'm saying? The people were not doing that. You know? But making up future events that they hope might happen. No. They were directed by God. And this goes back to the God-breathed understanding of Scripture. Isn't that amazing? How God breathed His Word and people like somehow got it and then they happen? Amazing. You can read the story of the death and burial of Jesus in Isaiah. That was like thousands of years before. Another reason I can trust the Bible is thematically. It's thematically unified. It has the same big theme through the entire book, from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelations. And you might think, well, what's the big deal? Yeah. What's the big deal? Well, let me remind you, this book was written over 1,500 years from the first book to the last by 40 different authors, in three different countries, in three different original languages, and most of the authors didn't even know about the others. How do you think they got the same story? Right? 1,500 years. They unify. Same thing. It'd be one thing if one person wrote the entire book, right? The Quran was written by one person, Muhammad. You know, the writings of Buddha were written by Buddha. You would expect those books to be uniform, right? They would go together, right? Yet the Bible was written over a long period of history by very different people. This book was written by poets, by prophets. It was written by kings. It was written by sailors and soldiers. This book was written by attorneys and a doctor. It's written by prisoners, prophets, and all kinds of people wrote the Bible in all kinds of places, in caves and ships and homes and palaces and prisons. And yet one theme of redemption from cover to cover, all pointing to Jesus as our Savior and ultimate Redeemer. I mean, you guys got to say with me, amazing. Aha. One of those aha moments. This book, right, that we sometimes full of dust, that, you know, make it look nice for when our family comes over. Oh, you read the Bible? Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. You know what I'm saying? This book. We're talking about this book. Right? Not easy, right? There's a war for your mind. And right now, it looks like Facebook is winning. Here we go, Luke 24:27. Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he's talking about Moses, right? Like the Old Testament. And then you can find stuff that concerns Jesus. The star of the story is Jesus. The star of the Bible is Jesus. And if you look for him, you can find them in every book of the Bible. Here's the last one. I can trust the Bible personally. For the Bible to do its work in your life, you must trust the Bible personally. This is the whole reason for this series. That we can see this book not like a book, see this book as life-giving, alive. Scripture was never intended to be looked at as a history book or a science book. It's meant to change us. It's meant to change us. Coming to church on Sunday is good, but let me tell you something. It's not enough. Coming to church, you don't check it on your to-do list. I went to church. I'm good, right? It's not enough. We are changed through the Holy Spirit working together with His Word. It's meant to change us. Y no los estoy regañando.
Your what hurts?
You know what? I'm not getting on your case. You know what I want? I want something for you guys. We want something for you guys. Experience. Go for it. Read it. Try it. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. I mean, the relevance of the Bible is amazing to me. You know why? Here's an ancient book that still speaks to our deepest questions and desires as human beings. It speaks to the human condition at amazing levels. Our pain, our suffering, our doubt, our betrayal, forgiveness, pride, friendship, family, joy, happiness, and victories. And the list goes on and on. You can find it here. The relevance of the Bible also transcends cultures and time. It has connected with and changed people in every culture in time. It speaks and changes people in China. It speaks and changes people in Europe, in Africa, in Central and South America. And for sure here in Playas. I mean, I've talked to people after service and they're like, it's like if you were talking to me. I'm all, yeah, because I have a camera at your house. No. I got no camera. I ain't got time for that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit through His Word. Did somebody tell you something about me? Where's my wife? Did somebody tell you something about me? Right?
Yeah.
You guys are laughing because that probably had happened to you, right?
Yes, sir.
Is somebody chismeando? No. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. Look at what it says in James 1:25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed in the next 40 days. I want you to encounter Jesus like never before. I want you to be set free, to be encouraged by God. And for this to happen in our lives, it takes some cooperation. Yes. We have to let the scriptures into our lives, into our heads. Let it drip into our hearts. And it will go into our hands. And from there to the way we live. The big idea Jesus invites us to love Him, to learn from Him, and to live for Him. To love Him, to learn from Him, and to live for Him. And this can happen in the next 40 days if you're willing to do your part. See, the fundamental question one of the most important questions you're going to ask yourself in this life is this: what's going to be the final authority in my life? what's going to be the final authority in my life? You need to decide that. And I want to encourage you to decide that today. Is it going to be the Word, which is Jesus? Or is it going to be the world? Is it going to be the Word, Jesus? Or is it going to be current culture? Is it going to be the Word, Jesus? Or is it going to be my feelings? Am I going to listen to what God says is true? Am I going to listen to what God says is true? Who is going to be the authority in my life? God or me? Have you settled that question? Let's pray. Lord, I know that you're here. This is all about you, Lord. We need you. Help us to pick you always. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts of everyone here. I pray, Lord God, that when Monday comes around, that the first thing we run to is you. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross and giving us this opportunity. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, our companion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.